This is based on a talk from the Rebbe concerning the Haftorah of the first day of Rosh Hashanah. So the question is, the Rebbe, what is that story of the Haftorah, the first day of Rosh Hashanah? Is a story of the prayer of Chana, the mother of the prophet Shmuel, the mother of the prophet Samuel. And the story in the Haftorah is that Chana, a lady who is has no children, she's very, very much bothered, very sad, embittered even by the fact that she has no children. She comes to the temple, the Beis HaMikdash. At that time, the temple was in the city called Shiloh. The Kohen Gadol is a person by the name of Eli, Eli HaKohen, the Kohen Eli. And she's davening in the Beis HaMikdash. She's davening in the Mishkan, at that time in Shiloh. Eli comes over to her and says to her, "You look like you're drunk. Why don't you have respect for the temple? How could you come into the temple, to the Mishkan, drunk?" Why did he think that she's drunk? Because she was mumbling under her breath as she was completely overcome with emotion, mumbling under her breath. And she looked like she was not fully in her senses. He said, "You must be drunk." And she said to him, "No, of course, I would never disrespect the temple, the Beis HaMikdash, that way. I'm praying for children, and I have this problem for many years. I don't have a child, and it really bothers me." And of course, Eli gave her a bracha, a blessing. And in fact, a year later, she had a child. And the child grew up to be, no ordinary child, grew up to be Shmuel Hanavi, the prophet Samuel. Gemara tells us that the prophet Shmuel, the prophet Samuel, was such a great prophet on the level of Moshe, in certain respects, greater even in certain respects than Moshe. Shmuel Hanavi, the prophet Shmuel, is the one who anointed the two Jewish kings, first Shaul, King Saul, and then, of course, King David, David HaMelech, was a great, great, great tzaddik. This is his mother, Chana. So the Rebbe has a number of observations about this story. And the questions are as follows. The way the story is told, the Rebbe says, in the Tanakh, in the Torah, first of all, why do we have to know that Eli thought that she was drunk? This is like a negative thing to say about Chana, that she first she appeared drunk, which of course she wasn't. The Rebbe wants to know, why is it that Eli didn't immediately interrupt her mumbling? The Torah says that he waited until she finished whatever she seemed to be saying, whatever he thought she was mumbling, in a drunken way, and then afterward he went over. He should have immediately, if you see a person who's disorderly, man or woman, you should immediately go over and stop them from being in the temple that way, in the Beis HaMikdash. He didn't do that. He waited until she finished her whole spiel, and then he went over to her. And the Rebbe, of course, also says that in general, the Gemara teaches us that the tefillah of Chana, the prayer of Chana, that's how we know how to daven. The Shmona Esrei that we recite silently is because Chana recited her prayer silently. Again, Eli didn't hear what she was saying. She just appeared to be drunk because she was mumbling under her breath. She was muttering to herself. It seems that this was some sort of an unusual way of praying. Eli thought that, you know, she wasn't praying the way everybody else prayed. So we learn from this that the Shmona Esrei, which is the high point of our davening, should be said in a very low tone of voice, to the extent that nobody around you should even hear what you're saying. So this is the tefillah of Chana. The Gemara learns many, many different, a number of different details in how prayer is supposed to be performed in the proper way to elicit, to get Hashem's response, to get the prayer fulfilled. The prayer of Chana, therefore, the Rebbe says, is not just something that you learn about on ordinary Shmona Esrei. But it's also on how you learn about what's the davening of Rosh Hashanah all about in general. Especially as we see that our sages have established that we should read this story of the prayer of Chana on the first day of Rosh Hashanah for the Haftorah. So therefore, the questions are, how and what do we learn out from the prayer of Chana that helps us understand prayer in general, what our approach to Hashem in general, and also what it is that we are asking for specifically on Rosh Hashanah? And that's the question. What in fact the person asked himself, Rosh Hashanah is coming. We know the Gemara tells us that Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment. We show up in shul and we ask for stuff. So the Rebbe says, did you ever see a person who's being judged ask for stuff? When you show up in court, God forbid you're being accused of who knows what, from a small traffic ticket to something that maybe, you know, serious offense, you don't show up in court and start asking the judge for things. Instead, you show up in court and you review your record. You excuse yourself in your own mind. You figure out what your excuses you're going to make. You present those excuses to the court for the past. Nobody has the audacity, the chutzpah, to go to court and to ask the judge for stuff. What does this mean, the Rebbe says, that we're coming to shul on Rosh Hashanah? And in the davening itself, our sages have scripted the davening for us. In the davening itself, it says we're asking Hashem for Chaim Tovim, for a good life. We're asking Hashem for health, for parnasa, for children, for nachas from our children, for every single thing that a person could only need and want. It says right there in the davening, we're asking. So if the Gemara tells us that Rosh Hashanah is a day of judgment, how do we have the chutzpah, the audacity to ask, show up in court before God and ask? And the Rebbe explains that this is the deeper meaning, this is the real meaning of what does it mean that Eli was accusing Chana of being drunk. Eli was accusing Chana of being inebriated. And Chana responded, and Eli accepted the response. And of course, the result was she had the child she was looking for and grew up to be a great tzaddik. The Rebbe says, when a person looks at their physical state, the materialistic world that we're living in, yourself, and a person says to Hashem, I need blessing in my life. So the question, and it's a real question, is why? Why? If you're a boss and a worker comes over and says, I need a raise. If you're a parent and a child says, I need an allowance. I need this. I need you should give me mom and dad this amount of money. That the first question is why? Why do you need it? You may think you need it, but you need it. Why? Why should I give it to you? You want it from me. Why should I give it to you? So that's a question that we need to answer for ourselves, the Rebbe says, before we even approach Hashem. We're approaching Hashem, and we're asking for stuff. So again, how do you have the chutzpah to approach the king who's judging you? And the Rebbe goes into a whole explanation of the difference between the relationship between a Jew and Hashem on the day of Rosh Hashanah, when we're crowning Hashem as our king, versus the relationship the rest of the year when Hashem already is our king, our boss. We've accepted Hashem as our boss, and now, of course, if we need something, who else are we going to ask from except from our boss? But on the day of Rosh Hashanah, we're establishing that relationship. That's the deeper meaning in general of the relationship between the Jew and Hashem on Rosh Hashanah. We're accepting Hashem as our guide, as our energy. Of course, it's a fact anyway, whether we accept it or not. But we are proactively, with intention, thinking and talking about how Hashem is the source of all life and so on. At that moment, when you're accepting the king, you're not thinking about, you shouldn't be thinking about yourself. You should be thinking about the king. And the Rebbe explains that this is a beautiful major concept in Hasidic thought from the time of the Baal Shem Tov, that the material and the physical world is not a block to spirituality unless you make it so. It's not antithesis. It's not the opposite of being holy unless you make it so. Hashem created everything from material to spiritual. to us, to everything. And Hashem gives us resources in order to fulfill Torah, in order to fulfill mitzvahs, the language of Chassidus, in order to make a dwelling place for Him in this world. So Hashem gives us stuff, and we turn to Hashem, and we say, when we're asking for things, we're not asking for ourselves. Yes, we're asking for ourselves, but in the same way that a worker would say, I need better tools. I need a good night's sleep. I need to have a day off because I need to come back refreshed. I'm not asking for myself. I'm asking for you. That's the real, the Rebbe says, this is the real secret of Chana's prayer. So Eli thought that she was drunk. What does it mean, drunk? Drunk means self-absorbed. Drunk means you drank too much because you were thinking about yourself, not about your obligations. A person that has obligations doesn't drink too much. A person that has work the next day or the next minute or a child to take care of and is responsible doesn't drink, doesn't get drunk, doesn't get inebriated because you know that you have responsibilities. Eli said to Chana, how can you come into Hashem's house, the Beis HaMikdash, and be drunk? Means think only about yourself. She wasn't drunk and she didn't look really drunk, and he was able to tell that she wasn't drunk. A drunken person is lying on the floor, is staggering around. She was muttering under her breath, but he saw that she was so wrapped up in her own needs that he said to her, you look like you're drunk. It seems that you're inebriated. You're high on yourself. You're full of yourself. And she responded, and she said, absolutely not. The only reason I'm asking for a child is because I want to have a human being that I can raise, that I can make holy, that I can bring to Hashem, I can bring closer to Hashem. Why do I want? I want for Hashem's purposes. I'm getting old. I can only do a certain thing. She wasn't that old, but I want a child. I want to carry somebody to carry on. That's what I want. I'm not asking for myself just because I want to be called a mother and I want the joy of motherhood, which is beautiful and everything, but it's not just for myself. I want to create a human being, a life that will carry on the chain of Jewish tradition, that will carry on the links, that will keep. And in fact, who did she have? She had Shmuel HaNavi, the prophet Samuel, no ordinary child. That was a result of her deep dedication. So the Rebbe tells us this is what we are supposed to have in our minds as we approach the day of Rosh Hashanah and as we're davening on Rosh Hashanah. We're asking for everything from A to Z in the language of the Torah, of the prayers from Aleph till Taf, every blessing from every letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The reason that we're asking is not because of ourselves. We're not drunk. We don't come before Hashem and say we're thinking only about ourselves. We're asking because we are telling Hashem, you gave us a mission. You want this world to be full of spiritual energy. You, Hashem, have to give us all kinds of blessings so that we are able to fulfill our mission. If we have worries, if we have to worry about our health, God forbid, or about our wealth, or about our children, we can't do our mission. It doesn't work. Hashem, you must give us everything from Aleph till Tav, from A to Z, because that's what you want. We're doing it for you. And that's the ultimate secret of accepting the King, the Rebbe says. When a person says, the reason that I'm existing is only to fulfill your will, that's what it really means to accept Hashem as our King. We are the subjects fulfilling the will of the King. And then if we truly accept Hashem in that way, well, why shouldn't Hashem give us everything, whatever we feel we're missing? Because after all, we are seamless. We're connected. We're on point. We're completely always focused. We're laser beam focused on what our mission is. And we say, we need this. So Hashem says, fine. It's not going to go to waste. It's not going to be personally used. It's all for the purpose of the company. It's all for the purpose of the business, the purpose of the kingdom. And all of this we learn from Chana. And Chana, the mother of the prophet Shmuel, becomes, as in the language of the Gemara, becomes the guiding light for how to daven and how to approach Hashem on Rosh Hashanah, what Rosh Hashanah is really all about. It's not just a day of judgment on the past. In other words, Hashem says, let me take a look and see if you were good last year. And if you weren't good, I'm gonna smack you around or wipe you off the face of the earth, God forbid. No. It's a day of reconnecting. It's a day of judging in order to know how to be better. That's why Hashem judges us. It's a day of us being able to reconnect, being able to reinvigorate ourselves with not only the belief, but also setting ourselves up that everything we have at our disposal is here for a higher purpose, a nobler purpose. We're not just here for ourselves. We are patriots in the true sense of the word. Everything we have is for the sake, the glory of Hashem. That's also reflected in the davening. That's reflected in the blowing of the shofar. This year, we don't blow the shofar both days of Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos. The first day, we don't blow the shofar. We don't blow the shofar second day on Sunday. But it is reflected in the psukim, the verses that we say, even though we don't blow the shofar, we do read sentences from the Torah and from the prophets and from the ksuvim, from the writings that deal with the blowing of the shofar. And all of this is only, it all leads up to this central theme that we are nothing except for the mouthpiece, the foot soldier of the king's will. And if we truly have that attitude, not only are we going to be happier, not only do we have a sense of purpose, a sense of noble purpose every day of the year, we are the king's foot soldiers. We are very special. We're not just worried about ourselves. The king has entrusted us with all kinds of amazing, amazing abilities and power. And we try to fulfill to the best of our ability. And as soon as something is not right, we turn to the king and say, we're your foot soldier. You have to make it right. That's the attitude that Chana has taught us. That's the bracha that we wish each other. We should have a kesiva v'chasima tova, written and sealed for a good, sweet new year, l'shana tova umetuka, for a good and a sweet new year. We should have nachas from our kids. We should have good health. We should have lots of wealth. And wealth includes both material wealth and also spiritual wealth. And the ultimate bracha, and this again is language of the Rambam, is Mashiach coming. And when Mashiach comes, the Rambam tells us, why do we Jews pray for Mashiach to come? Because we want to have more money. Because we want to, this is what the Rambam exactly says these words, because we want to rule over the nations of the world. We want to be the powerful Jew who rules. No. Because when Mashiach comes, all our worries will be taken away. All our material needs will be taken care of. And then we'll be able to be free to completely dedicate ourselves to our true mission, which is bringing spirituality into the world, being close to Hashem, recognizing and realizing the true purpose of the Jewish nation. And that is to be one with our Creator through Torah and through mitzvahs. There is, in Judaism, there is no contradiction between the spiritual world and the material world. They're one and the same. Hashem creates everything, and everything is given to us, materialism, in order to create spirituality. And therefore, in order to create spirituality, we ask and we daven. So that's the message for Rosh Hashanah. And as we go into the final hours of the year, before Rosh Hashanah, we're using up the last few bits. We're operating on, as they say, we're operating on fumes. You know, your gas tank is a little bit empty. Now we're operating on fumes. Chassidus teaches us, the Zohar teaches us, that on the day of Rosh Hashanah, we get not only new energy, but we get higher energy than ever was given before. Every year, Hashem actually gives us a greater and a more powerful punch, much more powerful energy than no year, including previous generations who were great tzaddikim. They have never received as great an energy as we are about to receive. When does it happen? According to the Zohar, it happens tonight during the Ma'ariv prayer. So